they paying you?
No. I don't want any pay. I'm doing this just for me.
Clearly. So, what do you do down there all day?
TCB. You know, taking care of business.
Yep, I gotta go.
All right, sir. I'll see you tonight, huh?
Forget my briefcase.
Well, what do you got in there?
Crackers.
Let the great experiment begin!
Do it. Yeah.
Those greedy, Weasley bastards.
Somebody gotta feed them hogs.
Hello.
General Kenobi.
Hello, Charles.
Out there, floating by the sand. Taste a morning out there, like ordinary men who freely walk about there. Just one day, and then I swear I'll be content.
It's very good. It's very good.
Won't resent, won't despair. Old and bent.
Ooh, the Broadway version, too.
Care. I'll have spent one day out there.
It is a good one.
A triumphant moment where you took my Clonecast recommends to heart.
Yeah. Well, I pulled it because I think we're going to have it for a new sound effect for the new character we meet. Because when Rook is running through the fields of wheat and they see him in the binoculars, I just imagined the Hunchback finally
yeah,
free.
Yeah.
Rook is like a combination of the Hunchback from the Hunchback of Notre Dame and
he's like if the
Killer Croc, if Killer Croc from Batman the Animated Series had a baby with the Hunchback of Notre Dame, that would be Rook.
If Quasimodo did SEAL team training, that's yeah, what Rook would be.
I'll have spent one day.
It's Rook.
Out there.
Oh. Anyways,
it is a great song.
It's very good. It's a good number. I was thinking about the longing. I do enjoy the longing.
A song about longing?
Gotta long.
Oh God, those Hercules songs.
Yeah.
Bell and that. Oh.
I Just Can't Wait to Be King is one of my favorite. It's an upbeat longing.
Yes, it is.
That's a very fun upbeat longing.
You also figured out the Broadway version of Out There, much better than the Disney.
Oh, yeah. Well, I just pulled that one video that you showed me last week.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it's a good one. So we got that on demand for Rook now.
Just
the Hunchback of Lothal. All right.
Rook.
So welcome to the Clonecast.
Welcome to the Clonecast.
I'm Tom.
I'm Adam.
Now, what we do here is we are watching in chronological order, and then we review it. That goddamn Star Wars Rebels show, and we were on to season 4, episode 7, Kindred. Kindred. But before that, we bullshit for 20 to 40 minutes, and then we get right on in there.
Right on in that episode.
Now, I made a declarative statement that we are getting this under 2 hours today. I didn't much sleep last night. We're going to hit it. We're going to hit it hard.
We're
going to hit it furious. It's all coming together. I don't know if we have it in us.
I'm sure we'll get derailed by something.
We don't have any emails to read this week.
Nope.
No
Clonecast recommends.
Nope, because I pulled something different for that in the essence of trying to keep it under 2 hours.
All right.
I was like, well, we could do this. We could try this.
Yeah.
I do want to recognize our sponsor before we get too far into things.
Yes.
So should we hear from our sponsor?
Yep.
All right.
Hey man, it's me, Bruce Springsteen. I'm in for my buddy, Gary U.S. Bonds. I'm in for Gary Bonds today, man. I'm going to tell you something. ErmasFinlandHouse.com, promo code Clonecast. Hey, Stevie. ErmasFinlandHouse.com, promo code 10% off when you use the promo code Clonecast. Yeah, Steve, come on and say something.
Well, I don't know, Tone.
All right, I'm done.
I go to pick my girl up. Her name is Linda Brown. Her daddy invites me in. He tells me to sit down. The small talk that we're making is going pretty smooth.
Out of boy.
Second harvest. Heartland.
That's it.
It still baffles me that little Steven is one of the stars of The Sopranos.
And very, very, does a very good job.
Yes.
Yeah. Little Steven Van Zandt. Yeah. Why didn't they hire Nils Lofgren? You a big Nils guy, or are you more of a Stevie guy?
More of a Stevie guy, I
I'm
think.
I'm a Nils guy. Yeah. Love a Nils. I don't know why he needs... That band has more people than they know
when
what to
do. When did Clarence Clemens die? How great would it be if he showed up in The Sopranos?
Oh, that'd be great.
Just a big enforcer.
Yeah. Like the strip club or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. He died in 2008, 2009. He was around when The Sopranos was around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
His nephew filled in for him now,
yes.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Who is also a very good saxophonist. But yeah, so IrmasFindlehouse.com. You can get that promo code CloneCast. We've had one redemption thus far. Maybe there was one during the week. I have no fucking clue. But yeah, so what's new? What's going on here? We've already talked for like an hour or so.
Yeah, we always run into that as I'm eating my tacos.
Smoking weed. Yeah, I don't know, man. It's been a very uneventful week.
Well, you had a big tree come down in the backyard again.
I'm sick of the fucking trees.
That thing's crazy.
I hate trees.
It just keeps shedding branches in your yard.
Yeah, so it's the same tree. It's a big old oak. That,
that's a maple.
Oh, that one's a maple?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't even know what the fuck. I hate the fucking trees. Yeah. Whatever. Maple syrup.
So are you going to get a chainsaw?
No, I don't think so.
Should I use this as an excuse to buy a chainsaw for myself?
I mean, if you want to get a Ryobi. Ooh. That's why it's like, oh, I bet Adam has a Ryobi by now in his collection.
See, I got to show you. Ryobi makes the standard battery pack is just like a 12 volt, I think.
Okay.
Or an 8 volt. The 14 volt. That's your big boy. Okay. You slide that guy into the weed whipper.
What kind of charge you get off that thing? Does it depend on what device you use it with? What's the lowest energy consumption device?
If you were running a chainsaw off of that, off of the big battery, you'd probably run it for, I don't know, 5-10 minutes, something
Damn.
Like that. It's not much.
Yeah. Okay. So maybe, would you still get a Ryobi chainsaw, or do you think you would break the brand and get something else for a chainsaw?
Well, it does make me feel bad because I'm willing to bet that battery that like lasts for like 5 to 10 minutes of continuous
use is more than enough.
I'm willing to bet 50 people lost their lives like mining the lithium that goes into that thing, and it's still just a piece of shit.
God. You're a real positive guy, you know? After I got done talking about how I'm a pessimist.
Yeah, I know. Isn't it great?
Yeah, it is. You know, you're laughing, so apparently you find some joy
in it. You're the pessimist, I'm the optimist, and I've multiple times said a meteorite hitting the earth would be the best thing to ever happen to me.
Yeah. Yet I would be terrified. Makes no sense.
I live my life. I try to be like Kramer in the season finale of Seinfeld when the plane's going down. Do you remember? Like everybody's freaking out and Kramer's like, I'm ready. I'm ready. Hallelujah.
Yeah. No, I remember. I do remember that. But I remember he got the, what did he got something in his ear, some water
in his ear.
And he was trying to get it out. George thinks that he caused the turbulence. it's good. But the tree came down. Like a big, giant fucking brick. Luckily, the dog wasn't in the yard, or me.
Yeah, no kidding.
It left a fucking hole in the yard that was like a foot deep.
It's some weird weather lately.
Yeah. It's finally started raining. Wasn't raining before.
No rain all summer until we get it all in 1 week.
We got a big field trip coming up this week.
Yes, we do.
We're going to Star Wars night at the Minnesota Twins game.
It's going to be great.
Taking on those bastards, the Pittsburgh Pirates. Do you think Hondo will show up and root for the Pirates?
That would be great.
That'd be great, wouldn't it, if Hondo
I don't know.
Up?
I'm hoping, like, when I went to Star Wars night at the St. Paul Saints game last year or the year before, and there were a lot of people from, what's that, is it the 501st Legion?
Yes.
The, like, group that does dress up in cosplay.
Yeah, the stormtroopers and all that.
Yeah, there were a bunch of people there from there.
Well, we have a clone Castanova that was formerly part of the 501st.
Oh, really?
Rule Farm Boy.
Oh!
Yeah. Forklifting. Living it up.
So I'm hoping we'll see some of those guys when
I'm sure we will.
The Twins game.
Yeah, they'll come out. Now, some of the promo images I was marking, there were some funny looking ones. Because they have a bunch of cosplayers on the field from last year's, and it was in the promo pictures, and like, You got ones that are just like decked to the nines, look like a legit clone trooper or a stormtrooper, and then you just got some guy
that are just like patched together.
Yeah, just patched together. He's wearing like a burlap sack and he's calling himself Chewbacca. Tape some fur onto the burlap sack. I don't know.
Really runs the gambit.
Yeah. But yeah, so that's Friday night. We're going to get ourselves, we already got him ordered because we did the ticket package. We're going with Conspiracy Guy, and we got ourselves three. We got, you got the large. No, I got the large. You got the extra large. Yep. And Conspiracy Guy got the medium. We got R2-D2 officially branded Twins crossover merch. We're getting a hoodie.
That's
an R2-D2 hoodie. And I was like, well, we got to go get that.
That's some good merch.
A Twins R2-D2 hoodie? I'm going to fall in love with this
and
thing.
And there's a t-shirt, too, apparently.
There is a t-shirt, and Carlos Correa is wearing Boba Fett's armor. Now the t-shirt is a limited one, though. So we already got the R2-D2 yes. Star Wars / Twins hoodie. We need to show up in with promptly. Ample amount of time before the game because there's only 10,000 of the shirt. Now, the thing with the shirt giveaways is they're always going to be XL. Always going to be XL.
Good news for me.
Yeah. That's your size.
Well, it's my size just because I'm tall.
Yeah.
I'm technically a large tall. Like, that's the shirt that fits me perfectly.
Yeah.
But not typical size.
Yeah. I'm a large right now.
Okay.
Because I'm a... Normally, though, when I'm in fully good shape, I'm a medium. But I have been running a lot, and I hit a great runner's high the other day. Just cruising. We're back. We're running. But yeah, no, that's going to be exciting. I'm very curious the quality of the R2 hoodie.
Yeah.
Because this is like an official partnership with Star Wars and Major League Baseball.
Yep.
And the Twins. So it's got to be, if Star Wars is slapping their official Disney fucking label on it, I got to assume there's got to be some level of quality to it, right?
Yeah, I know. I got ruined when someone pointed out, do you know what Gildan is? Does that mean anything
Gildan
to you?
T-shirts. A lot of times when you're, when you know, someone... if the CloneCast ever has merchandise, you'll probably be receiving a Gildan t-shirt.
When someone pointed out that Gildan t-shirts are shit, it clicked in my head. And I was like, oh my God, yeah, that's why all of these t-shirts feel like sandpaper when I put them on.
I like the Gildan feel.
They like need to be broken in. They're like denim.
Like, no, the thing, I like a heavier t-shirt.
Oh, no, thank you.
You're like a thin t-shirt?
Oh, yeah.
I don't like those thin t-shirts.
It needs to be breathable and soft.
No, I want a heavy t-shirt. No, I want a heavy one.
No, thanks.
I want one that can withstand a strong thunderstorm, you know? Yeah, but yeah, Gildan is like the default t-shirt for like those screen printing services yep. and stuff. Like, yeah, we'll get a big bulk of Gildan and we'll get a skid of Gildan in and we'll just print shit on them all day, you know?
Yep.
I mean, but Gildan is a very hated brand, I know.
So yeah, we got the Twins game, Star Wars night on Friday, and then EL No, the Twin Cities premier ELO cover band, is playing, yeah. And I'm trying to get you and Conspiracy Guy to come with me.
I told it's going to be a night of decision.
Right, but I think it's going to sell out, so you're probably
it
not
also
be
says
able to
it
go.
Starts at 7 and the game starts at 7.
But they have like two openers. Every time I've seen EL No, they go on at like God. Between 10 and 10:30.
I swear to God, this is a little Tom Quirk. I hate concert guys like that where it's like the openers are going to go to at least 8:45. We got time. And you're sitting at the bar and I want to go see the band. Like, I remember I was sitting at like a Metallica concert. I can't remember. It's Red Hot Chili Peppers or something. And it's like, we got to get in there. We got to go. Like, you know, like you don't want to see Tokyo Police Club, Tom. And I was like, I don't want to miss the actual show.
That was at Weezer.
Was it Weezer?
Tokyo Police. They had two openers. It was Tokyo Police Club first and then Angels and Airwaves and then Weezer.
Who you booed vociferously. Angels and Airwaves. Yes. I think when I saw Red Hot Chili Peppers once, Tokyo Police Club.
Okay.
I've seen Tokyo Police Club a lot. If you need to know something about Tokyo Police Club, you let me know.
I think they turned out to be a like pretty good band. We saw them when they were the first opener for Weezer. They were like just hitting it.
I would say I have heard a couple of their songs. I think they're fine.
Okay.
They're fine. I wouldn't mind them as an opening act. That's a fine opening act. I think you were a little rough on Angels and Airwaves that day.
Yes. I was trying to have fun.
It was very purposeful.
I did make a middle
schooler. Our other friend, though, I don't know if he was trying to have fun or if he was trying to antagonize the big man. Bizarro Authorian.
Clarence?
The Bizarro Authorian historian.
Yes.
Yeah. I remember that day. God, that's a long time ago. That's when they were on their Red Album tour at the time. And I actually really love that album. But I remember I was like, no, trust me. Angels and Airwaves, they got this one song. Trust me, this one song. And then as soon as I was like, see, here it goes. And you just go, boo.
There's like one middle schooler behind us that was like, hey, man, they got some good songs.
Yeah. It was fucking hilarious because especially after they finished, like the exodus of like emo teens.
It was really funny.
That took place. It was hilarious. Like there was probably like 10% of the crowd that left just because they were there to see Angels
and
Airwaves.
That was a crazy concert because that was the first time like I'd never really gone to, and it's not even like, it's fucking Weezer in 2006.
It's the first time you went to a concert that wasn't Paul Simon or something. Well, Bob Dylan.
Like, there was like a quote unquote mosh pit like on the ground. But like I'm 6'4". So like I was in the middle of it and just kind of like swaying around and stuff. And like I remember you getting sucked in and like me like telling everyone like we're going to lift him up. We're going to lift him up. And we like
No, I did the crowd surfing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did the crowd surfing. Yeah, pick up the little guy. Real fun. I think it was during Buddy Holly, I believe, is when Tom crowd surfed. They did bring Tom DeLonge back out to sing the sweater song with them, which booed him.
What, I did? Yeah.
When he came out, we're going to bring out Tom DeLonge and Angel Harris. Boo!
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you coming to EL now?
I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how I'm feeling. I get up at work for like 5:45 every day, man. 10 p.m. is pretty late.
I thought you had this week off.
Next week off.
You told me this week off.
Next week off.
Because I thought it was so puzzling that you took the week before we had a special guest coming into town.
Nope. I took the week off because I wanted to do Lyft going into the special guest arriving those days. I'm going to hit a bonus.
Okay. Well, yeah. I got no problem with this then.
All right. I have no idea what you're... No problem with me possibly going home and going to bed? No. No, I'm going to give you shit about that. God, it's going to be the most painful Friday night of my life. Should we do the Sega bass fishing before you get
any
ideas?
Let's do it.
Enjoy your fishing. Get the new tournament passport.
It's the... Sega! Bass fishing sound effect of the week. Really scared right now because that was the most professional transition that we've ever had.
That was really good.
It was just like, all right, this is where we're starting to go off the rails. Let's bring it in.
You really want this under 2 hours?
Well, I just think, you know, like I've been debating. Like I've thought about just breaking the show up into two parts and releasing them both on the same day. That way, if somebody just wants Star Wars, they get the Star Wars. If they want the bullshit too, it's there for them.
I feel like that's part of the charm, though, it being mixed in.
It is. I want to make it more digestible for more people if people want to share it to somebody who's only interested in
Star
Wars.
Doesn't
want
to listen to two idiots like, ramble on for an hour
straight. You don't need me to describe the Minneapolis Sculpture Garden. You just don't. You don't need that. You've all seen the beautiful cherry spoon. You get close to that thing, they got to paint that thing up a little bit sometimes. Yeah. Like, I get it. It's cool, but...
Well, they just did last year. Did you... Like, there was a big
controversy. Oh, I haven't been there. Wasn't there last year. What are they... Did they change the hue of
they
the
took,
red or something?
Last
or?
Year, they took the cherry down, and they...
What?
Repainted it. But there was a big controversy because they shipped the cherry to, like, upstate New York to get it, like, painted. And people were pissed.
Oh, God, Minnesotans. I know. It's probably because there's like a specialty artist up there that handles like touch-ups on sculptures.
Of
like
course.
That's where the preeminent sculpture guy is. Well, I'm glad they touched it up though. They should be happy about that. Did they do it during the winter?
I think so. Yeah.
See?
Yeah.
They're thinking it all through. What are they want some? You know, the problem is they want some guy who like is up in Duluth and you know has.
No, Duluth is too mainstream. They want someone in, like, Alexandria.
It's wild to me, like, when you go to, like, MIA and they have, like, the local exhibitors, like, this artist from, you know, like...
Bemidji.
Yeah, from Bemidji, Minnesota. And it's just, like, a collection of his whittlings and stuff, you know? His woodworking.
We
made
love
this
our
canoe.
Local artists.
We do. It's a lovely museum.
Yeah.
It's a great museum. best views of top 10 skyline in the U.S. for sure. Okay, we're off track. Sega Bass Fishing. So Zet Yukasa is getting it today. Now, Zet had typed in 137, 138 as just one combined. And I don't know if I played one of them before, but I told Zet I'd just give him them both. So he okay. gets number 137 and 138. So I guess on the episode where I'm trying to save time, I failed in this manner because we have two sound effects, but they're sound effects. They're short. So 137, ready?
Yep.
Down.
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 Down. Down.
All right. Okay, 138. You ready for 138?
Yeah.
I wonder if it'll be anything more than that. Back-to-back numbers. I kind of feel like there's an order to them, so I think it might be something similar, but let's see.
Up.
Down.
Up.
Up. And down.
Down.
Up.
Up.
And down.
Down.
You remember that Venga
Boy
song?
That's great stuff, yeah.
Up.
All right, sorry. So
that's
up
for
and
Six
down.
Flags,
up.
Right? Yeah.
And down. And up. Was that for Six Flags?
Yeah, with the old guy dancing around.
Yeah. Oh, actually, I listened to that song recently because I went on a Venga Boys kick because I'm a fucking idiot. And you know how Spotify has like the videos that are like
a Venga Boys kick.
Venga Boys.
Yeah, yeah.
Did I say Vega? No, but you know how Spotify has like the when they play a, when there's like a popular song or like the artist is uploaded, it's like a 10-second video clip that just kind of goes to the music.
Mm-hmm.
From like maybe the music video or something. That the one for Up and Down by Venga Boys is fucking wild. There's like this old guy that like old Chinese man that's like dancing, you know? And then there's a close up of cleavage, very lovely close up of breasts. And then there's the other gal in the band doing probably the dumbest dance I've ever seen. It's very good.
Are you sure this wasn't the commercial for Six Flags?
No, I screen recorded because I was laughing at it, and I was like, I'll do something with this at some point. It's like straight up the horniest, weirdest 10-second video clip ever on Spotify Up and Down. Check it out if you got your Spotify. You'll see boobs. You'll see a smiling old guy. You'll see a funny dance from the other lady in the Venga Boys. So that's my CloneCast recommends.
Are you cool if I buy tickets to ELNO right now? I got it pulled up.
I hate my fucking this is all it's going to be for days. For fucking days.
It's going to sell out. It's going to be a good show.
All right. Well, don't you know them at this point?
You'd think.
Yeah. You think you would like be volunteering to tune their fucking guitars?
You see
for
a
them.
Head and shoulders hovering above the crowd. They're like, that fucking guy again.
They are roadies back. You should be a roadie for ELNO.
It would be great.
That'd be hilarious, man. You'd be a good roadie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just stories from the road. That'd be fun.
Well, they should know me. I did run into them at ELO in Chicago, so.
No, you did.
Oh, I thought I told this story on here.
The ELO went to Chicago? They did their world tour? Or
yeah. The,
ELNO,
it was
me.
The first leg of Jeff Lynne's ELO tour.
Oh, that's right. We saw. Didn't you spot him in the crowd when we were at ELO?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But this was the first leg when I think they were testing the waters to see how many tickets they could sell. So they played the Allstate Arena in Chicago. So the smaller one
in Rosemont.
close to O'Hare. They came through, I think, a year or two later, and they played the big one, the United Center.
Yeah, man, I will say that show was fucking packed at the X, man.
Yeah.
That was like 20,000
people.
But
when I saw them at the Allstate Arena, like there was this group of guys that we noticed a couple rows ahead of us that were like really enjoying the show. And then as we were like filing out, Bree overheard them talking to somebody and they were like, oh, yeah, we're actually in town from Minneapolis. And I looked and I like immediately recognized them.
Was he wearing the big hair?
No.
Oh, he wasn't? He was wearing the big hair at the show we were at, right?
Oh, yeah. They were dressed to the nines for the show in St. Paul.
They got a fiddle gal, violin gal?
No, I don't think so.
You know I like Jeff Lynne's violin gals.
Yeah.
I do have an affinity for Jeff Lynne's violin gals.
Yep.
They're all in the polycule.
Yep.
Oh, there was one named Rosie. I really went down a Rosie rabbit hole on YouTube. She's a very talented violinist. Is that a violinist? Is that what they call him?
Yeah, sure.
What's the fucking difference between a fiddle and a violin?
Fiddle is played south of the Mason-Dixon line.
Did you know I was the fiddler in my middle school presentation of Fiddler on the Roof?
That's impressive.
Yeah. It's actually one of the smaller roles.
Yeah.
He just hangs out.
Yeah, he's just in the background.
But he's the titular
character. You weren't like Tevye or anything.
Well, I danced with Tevye.
Sure.
I played when he was drunk wandering home one night. I thought, yeah, that. And he chased me.
What a great musical.
Yeah. The guy that played Tevye is actually, you may have seen him on one of the Mega Millions billboards in town. My friend Kevin.
Oh.
Yeah, Kevin. Do you remember the Mega Millions billboards where it was like this big white guy wearing a velour suit?
I think so.
That was Kevin.
Okay.
Anyways, this is where it's going off the rails. Bring it in. We're doing it, man. We're doing it. I'll have spent one day. I think Rook's sound effect is just going to be my thing where I can take 10 seconds to hit my one-y and then go back to talking.
Yeah.
Anything exciting happened to you this week?
So just one thing, and I am going to try to make an intro to this, because we're going to try to... I have multiple things that I can show you, but I've been selling a lot of stuff on Facebook Marketplace recently.
Okay.
Yeah,
we talked about this last week.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going off the rails, folks. I don't know.
So I don't have an intro this week. I will put something together next week.
But you want me to do it?
No, I got it.
Oh, but you got something in mind?
I've been selling a ton of shit, surprisingly.
So wait, you're going to come up with a drop that we're going to play for a segment.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's going to be great.
This is a first, folks. We're over 200 episodes in, and he is finally making something.
Oh, there have been like one or two or three that I've like, oh, I'm going to do this, and I just never got around to it.
Yeah.
But this
I'm not complaining. It's fine. I don't mind making these
things.
This
one's going to come to fruition.
Okay.
But this entertained you to no end because you saw some of the things that I was selling.
Well, that smoker... That thing looked like shit. Literal junk. And some guy gave you $15 for it. Just junk.
It was rusted to shit.
Just literally a pile of shit. Like, I was telling you, that's the kind of thing I try to sneak past Goodwill. I'm like, please take it. You just leave it at the drop zone and drive away.
This is literally, like, I don't know, 80% of the shit that I'm selling, I would just end up dropping off at Goodwill, but it's like, let's just like see if I could get a couple bucks for it.
A $10 lamp, that shade is just ripped in half. You're just, here you go, Goodwill. It works, man.
I'll put it up for $5, see if
just
anybody
buys. Just some random pull from a device that you have no idea. A device that has been long gone from your house for years, you have no idea what it is, and you just give it to the thrift store.
First, I got to see if anyone will bite on it.
All right.
Okay.
So the game is I'm going to predict how much money you got for this.
I have edited out the price. I'm going to show you the listing.
Okay.
And you guess how much.
All right.
Zoom in if you want.
I can tell that the fucking prod is just dirty. Okay, can you tell them?
Wait, tell them what it is.
It's a fireplace poker set. So you got a little brush. This is like the Walmart fireplace. Is it a cheap Walmart one or something?
I don't know. I didn't buy it.
Okay. Did it come with the house?
Yeah.
Okay. You don't use the fireplace or?
No, we got a nicer set.
Okay. So you got your little shovel, you got your little brush, and then you got your little poker, and then a stand for them.
Yeah.
Okay. I would. Okay. Honest to God, if this was me and I had a fireplace and one, I would probably just go to Target or Walmart and just grab whatever the fuck they had and be like, all right.
Uh-huh.
But if you're really looking on Facebook Marketplace for a fireplace poker set, I got to go $10.
Bingo. Right on the money.
It looks like shit.
I dropped it off on my way over here.
Look, this is what he gave me. $10 for
and
junk.
The way it was so funny, the way that I worked it out with this guy is he like was being kind of cagey about, he was like, I don't want to message, I don't got Facebook Marketplace or Messenger on my phone, so give me your phone number and I'll let you know when I'm on my way. And I was like, I don't think so, I could drop it off, where are you at? And it was somewhere between my place and your place.
Oh yeah.
And so the way that it worked out is he wasn't going to be home, but he was like, tell you what, leave the set over the front gate and I'll put the $10 under a rock. You can just take it. And I showed up, sure enough, there is $10 sitting under a rock.
There you go. So you know you had the right house, too. That works out.
Yeah.
Didn't even have to see the fucking guy.
Nope.
Although, I do want some stories of the look on their face when they hand you the money.
Oh, I got some of those, too.
This segment has legs. we don't have a Wikipedia sentence of the week. That'll come back next week. I didn't see anything that blew me away where I was just like, why is that testicle being shattered after going to therapy
sure.
with a celebrity doctor? But no, I'm excited for... Do you have any idea what you want to call the segment? Have you thought
Not
this
yet.
Through? All right. Well, that's your assignment for next week.
Okay. I'll come up with something.
Yeah. We'll see what you come up
I
with.
I got at least 5 or 6 good weeks of material.
You got a lot of stuff, huh?
I still got some open listings, too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, you did have a lot of junk in there.
Uh-huh.
That's exciting for you. I can't wait... Are we going to take a tally of how much money you make unloading shit? Do you think we could get you a new UCS X-Wing? Do you think we could hit $249?
Probably. Yeah, I think so.
That would be fun. That would be a fun little experiment.
I got my eye set on that Razor Crest.
Oh, that's a little spendier.
That comes with the Blurg.
Yeah, the Blurg almost did it to me, and yeah. I've successfully managed to cool my Lego tempers.
I've noticed, yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, we got a guest that's going to be flying through town. I want to have some money for that.
We have some social outings.
Yeah, some social outings. Beers are very expensive at these games. They aren't cheap, folks. They aren't cheap. Yeah. So, no, yeah, I mean, I definitely do want to waste all my money on Lego sets, but it's just I'm in the fiscally conservative Tom era here. Just you know, I sit and I listen to Dave Ramsey all day. That's what I do.
Yeah.
Cut up the credit cards. I'm just kidding.
I wonder if I could sneak a plastic flask into one of the Twins games.
Probably.
If I duct tape it to my inner thigh, I think
yeah.
I might be safe.
If it's plastic, you'll get it through. They'll do the wand. They do the wand.
Yeah, but it's great because I just tell them I'm diabetic. My sensor's right here.
You're not interested in paying $15 for a beer?
No, I am not.
Oh, I'm gonna have some billionaire Bud Light, my friend. The Billy Buds.
That's the funniest thing. It's like $15 for like a Bud Light, which is crazy to me. Like I can.
Do you have
a
light beer ranking list?
I can wrap my head around spending it on like. I don't know.
A nice cocktail.
A cocktail or even like a normal
like a nice
beer.
IPA or something. Yeah. Like, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. They get away with that, though, man. I mean, that's where the bread is buttered there.
We actually, a bunch of friends at work.
They trap you in this large area, and then they force you to buy their ridiculous overpriced items.
A bunch of friends at work, they did a light beer, like, tasting, like, taste ranking.
Ooh, I'd be interested to see the
and
results.
It was all blind. But everybody, they were doing it the wrong way. Like, they all tasted, and it was between Bud Light, Miller Light, Golden Light,
yeah. Coors,
and Busch. Those yeah. were the five. But everyone was taking it and guessing which was which.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, no, I...
What, that's
no
not
way.
The point of a taste test. That's, not to guess. It's to choose which one you like the best without having a preconceived bias.
Thank you. This yeah. is why we're doing a podcast together.
Well,
so
I thought
like,
that was just common sense on
so
what a blind taste... We never did the blind taste test for Diet Pepsi versus Diet Coke.
Oh, yeah.
Remember how I was going to get the good stuff from Taco Bell?
Yeah, that's right.
I'm still Diet Pepsi free.
Yeah,
I'm still. I've been caffeine free. It's got to be close to a month now.
Yeah.
I'm running every day. I'm vigorous.
Look at you.
Look at me go. So do you have a preferred beer ranking on
the
light?
Oh, I always thought I hated
the
Bud.
The Clonecast presents...
Power Rankings. Talk to me.
I think the Clonecast brain disease is getting to us. I did not need to do that just so I could tell 100 uninterested listeners about what my favorite light beers are.
Uh-huh.
I haven't had one of these in probably, I don't know, a year.
Yeah.
Mick Golden Light is the only answer.
Okay.
I think that is the superior beer. Bud Light, number two. They were fighting for number one, but then they went woke. number three, Coors Light. Number four, Busch Light. And number five, and it has nothing to do with my feelings about the state of Wisconsin, but Miller Lite is the worst beer ever made. So, ever. It's the worst beer I've ever tasted. If it gets a little warm, it literally tastes like piss. So, literally tastes like fucking piss.
I literally, like, I have no, like, I'm not a huge beer guy. And, like, light beer, I'll have it if it's there. And I'm, like, outside on a summer day. But
well,
like,
I don't even get a light beer at the games anymore. I get, like, a Summit or something.
Like, I don't know the difference. I can't detect the difference. And then it wasn't until they were all blind in front of me. And I always assumed, I was like, I don't know, I think I like Miller more than Bud.
Ooh.
But like, but I have no fucking frame of reference.
Yeah.
But when I tasted all of them and ranked them, Bud Light came in first. And then I believe it was Miller. I think it was Miller Light. Or no, it was Bud Light, then it was Busch, then Miller Light, then Coors Light, and then Mick Golden Light. Mick Golden Light and Coors Light, when I was drinking them blind, had...
Surely you jest.
They had no taste whatsoever. Like, literally, I was, like, drinking them, and I was like, there's no flavor. There's nothing there.
Yeah.
And when I drank the Bud Light, and I took a sip of it, I was like, well, it's, like, I can taste something there.
Now, let me ask you something. Was this your gas station beer, or was this liquor store beer?
This was, I don't know, it came in cans.
There's a difference.
It came from the liquor store. It didn't come from the gas station or the grocery store. It wasn't 3-2.
Yeah. So here in Minnesota, you can't sell you can only sell booze in a licensed liquor store. It has, even like grocery stores that have liquor stores, they're in a separate, like, walled off.
There has to be a separate.
And there's a separate entrance.
And
yeah.
Yep.
So the gas stations can sell beer, but it can't be more than 3.2 alcohol by volume. And so it's basically a watered-down version of that beer. So you can go get light beer at the gas station, but it's just piss water.
Yeah.
It's Miller Lite. That's what it is. It's Miller Lite. Normally, I think the light beer is around 5% alcohol by volume, maybe 4.5.
That sounds about right.
So it's really not even that big a difference, but it does make a difference in the taste for sure. Yeah, so that's your Twin City talk for the day. should we do the time warp?
Yeah, let's
do it. Oh, we're making time. Yeah, that bread. You know, if we get this under 2 hours, I'm just going to feel bad then and be like, oh man, I short shrifted everybody. You know?
Well, when we give them 3 hour episodes every week, every once in a while, we could come in under two.
I just didn't get much sleep last night, and I have a feeling by the time we're, you know, if we do our usual 10:30 wrap-up and then I have to edit it,
yeah,
I might just fall asleep at the computer.
What was insomnia? What was wrong?
I'm just not very good at sleeping. Yeah, I do have insomnia issues.
But, like, what kind? Is it not being able to go to bed? Is it waking up in the middle?
Sometimes I get the restless leg where, like, I just can't get comfortable, and I'm like, bah, 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 you know, and I start screaming, and I'll punch a pillow, and it's literally the most frustrated you'll ever see me. Sometimes it's just staring at the phone or watching something on TV, and I'm just, I don't know, I'm like a kid on a school night sometimes before work. I'm like, I don't want to fucking go to bed. No. They take all this time from me. I'm taking it back, you know? Sleep is a very unproductive thing.
That is, like, I typically, on average, I go to bed around 1 a.m., and I wake up at between 7:30 and 8. Like, that's my sleep schedule.
That's a fair amount of sleep.
But, like, I don't know. I'm an adult, and when I, like, am waking up for work the next day, it does seem a little silly. But then when the weekend hits,
yeah,
it's like I feel like, okay, I'm okay going to bed at 11 o'clock tonight.
Sure.
It's because it's like during the week, I'm like, I'm not going to let work tell me when I can go to bed.
No, I mean, yeah, there will be like Friday or Saturday, I'm just like 10:30, I'm like, I'm out,
I'm exhausted, I'm going to bed.
But then you get up a little early and you enjoy your Saturday.
Yep. Do you ever wake up at like 7 a.m. and like you just like have some errands you have to run?
Yeah.
So you do them, and you like,
it's like
do
9 a.m. you got
morning,
everything
you come
you
home
need to
and
do
it's 9:45.
Yeah. And you're just like, what the fuck do I do now? You know what I do? That's when I go to the store and end up spending money. How many times can I walk the dog to stave off the inevitable, like, impulse purchase of, I think I need I do need that new AT-AT. Yes, I do. You know, like
that thing does look nice.
Well, I was just choosing a generic Star Wars item, but no, yeah, I mean, yeah, I got a compulsive buying issue, man.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well,
you see my hat?
Nice. Yeah, that's.
I went to Lids. And I got a hat. It's a Star Wars hat. Look at it.
Which one? There's like three of them in the Mall of America, aren't there?
Well, I went to the Lids in Eden Prairie.
Oh.
Where they film Mallrats.
That's right.
Yeah. But it doesn't look anything like that anymore, which is quite depressing me. As a kid, I loved that mall. The Eden Prairie Center.
That one was cool. Burnsville Center was pretty cool, too. That one's not there anymore.
Oh, that's like a... No, it's there.
It's just a ghost town.
Yeah, it is a ghost town. Eden Prairie Mall, Eden Prairie Center is still pretty lively for a mall. They got a Target as an anchor.
It's still active, yeah.
Yeah, they got a Target as an anchor and like a Shields Superstore, which is like a Dick's Sporting Goods that's
kind of
expanding in the Midwest. So they have that going for it. They did have a JCPenney, and I almost walked in out of sheer curiosity. Not many pennies left standing.
That's where I used to do all of my shopping, because they were one of the few stores that carried a 34-36 jean.
Ah.
But I had to hunt for them.
Slim and long.
Dig through that denim.
Getting that Arizona Jean Company, huh? Was it Arizona Jean
oh,
Company?
No.
Sonoma?
It was Levi's.
Levi guy.
Of course.
You ever do the Lees?
I don't know. I think maybe way back when.
Yeah. I was always like, are Lee and Levi, these guys related?
I always thought, but apparently not.
Really?
I don't.
Maybe
I don't know.
Lee and
You're
Levi, they're brothers,
guy.
And they broke up. You know, they had a big falling out, and they both started their own denim companies.
So, how much sleep did you actually get last night?
4 hours.
Okay, not great.
Yeah, I slept at work for a bit. It's fine.
Okay,
I'll cut that out. okay, so time warp time. Here we go. Kindred, season 4, episode 7, aired on November 7th, 2017. It's still, the number one song is still that goddamn rock star song by Post Malone and 21 Savage. However, we do have a new number one movie. So I'll do something special for the song. But for the movie, we got a new number one. We were literally just talking about this director 10, 15 minutes ago.
Oh.
This director. In fact, I think we even looked at a clip that this director is in.
Oh, okay. So, is it a Marvel movie?
That it is. It might be one of my 5 favorite Marvel movies.
Is it Thor Ragnarok?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Korg.
Korg.
Taika Waititi directed. Yeah. Thor Ragnarok is your number one movie in America on November 7, 2017.
It's a great movie.
I do enjoy it.
Jeff
yeah.
Goldblum's fantastic.
Goldblum
in it.
Can do no wrong.
I know.
Goldblum is a treasure, a real treasure. I love that guy.
There is this. He had a show on Disney Plus. I forget what the name is.
Oh, it was like Jeff Travels or whatever.
Yeah,
right?
And yeah, he
it
goes
was a
and
National
he,
Geographic.
He
channel.
Like talks to different like scientists and stuff, and he does a. I only saw the clip because I heard another podcast talking about it, but he goes and visits like a walk therapist. Or like a computer lab that like measures your footsteps and like builds you a shoe according to your foot.
Oh, one of those nice orthotic
yeah.
shoes.
So
yeah.
like the whole thing is you had to walk over this pressure sensitive pad and it like registered your foot movement. And
yeah.
then when they instructed him to walk, he had no problem because he just like kind of sauntered over the pad. But when they told him to run, he just kind of like sped up his walking just a little bit, and they were like, no, we need you to like run, like we need you to sprint across this so we can like
I don't run
dedicate your feet. And he just like did not know how to run. He kept like speed walking over the thing.
Jeff Goldblum, yeah, I don't think he's ever run. I'm trying to think, in Jurassic Park he must have run. In Jurassic Park,
well, he had that broken leg that prevented him from running.
Yeah, but he was in like 3 other ones,
I think. He did. Okay, he did run when he was holding that flare to, like, get the T-Rex away from there.
Yeah. Very brave of him.
Yeah.
Very brave of him.
Ian Malcolm.
Ian Malcolm. Yeah. Nature finds a way. Oh, God, that now, I'm trying not to get off topic. I did go to the podiatrist.
What?
Yeah.
What for?
I hurt my nail. Well, I run a lot, and I fucked up my nail, and I think it got, like, a little athlete's foot infection, and then it. So I was like, do I have to cut this nail off? And he's like, no, we'll just give you this little cream, put it on. It'll be good in 6 months. I got a weird nail.
I don't think I've ever been to a podiatrist.
I'm like Greg when they go on the yacht in Succession. And he's like, do I have to take my shoes off? I think there's maybe a fungal thing going on. now the doctor was like, yeah, it's fine. We'll give you this. It'll be good to go. It's very exciting. Good to go.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know you're getting old when you go to the fucking podiatrist.
Yeah. When you have to go and find like specialty doctors, like podiatrists or periodontists.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I got my teeth cleaned recently. No cavities. Once again, I'm the cavity champion of the world. Don't get cavities. Isn't it wild for the amount of Diet Pepsi that I drink? My teeth just don't erode away.
Yeah, I know.
It's nuts.
Yep.
And they feel great now, too. That's one of the reasons I quit. I was like, my teeth just feel. Ugh.
As long as you brush regularly, I think you're fine.
Yeah. Now, it's important to brush correctly, though. You don't want to get too hard with the bristles. I'm the expert now because I just got my teeth cleaned. You got to do it very light. You want to clean that gum line, you know? You want to make sure you clean that gum line, but you don't want to press down too hard because then you get some recession from the pressure.
Light circular motions.
Light circular motions.
I went to the ophthalmologist recently and got my my eye health checked.
How's that?
Good. Diabetics are very susceptible to eye disease because of fatty buildup in the blood, but she said she detected no diabetes in my eyes, which is good news.
You got the eyes of Stevie Wonder, huh?
And she did finally. I've been asking about LASIK forever, but my prescription's been too bad, too advanced, and I also have astigmatism. So she said it disqualifies me, but apparently there's a procedure that's been out for a while now that like can correct it.
Okay.
But it's maybe a little bit more intensive
than LASIK?
Yeah.
Huh. You thinking of it?
I need to go in for a consultation, but it would be great not to have to worry about glasses anymore. Yeah. One of which is like a permanent contact lens. They like dilate your pupil like to the point where it's super big.
Yeah.
And then they just like slide this contact lens like under your pupil.
I saw a video today of like they're doing a corneal surgery. Or no, they're doing some sort of like a surgery on like the person's like
cataracts.
Eyelid. Something, but they put these corneal protections in, so the person's conked out, just out on the fucking surgery table, and the doctors just open his eyes and they put this little nipple looking thing.
Oh yeah.
I was just like, I feel it, man. I can't. So yeah, I don't know how you put those things in.
Yeah, it's rough, but yeah. So it's either the like permanent contact or it's. She said basically it's cataract surgery, so they just like cut the part of your eye out and like move stuff around and then like stitch it up and then you're fine.
I don't know
between that and going to the ENT for my deviated septum, I'm getting a whole new face, baby.
Yeah, and I did have a follow-up appointment with my gastroenterologist.
God, we are approaching our 40s fast.
Yep. Everything's good there though. They're gonna keep me on the medications that I'm on. It seems to be good. The ulcerative colitis is under control, is about as well as it's been the entire time I've had it. I think the diet that I'm on right now, I cut out the fast food and shit. I'm eating a lot more. I'm just eating better, generally. I think the diet is really helping out. I mean, I still have it.
Yeah.
But I've been taking some good logs,
yeah,
man.
It turns out what you eat actually has an impact on your body.
Shocking. Brain genius guy. You are what you eat, they say. I like this brain genius guy who just drops in and says random dumb stuff.
How did we get here from Taika Waititi?
Something about podiatry, maybe?
Yeah, maybe. Either way, so I started watching.
I mean, we're making good time still.
I started watching Into the Shadows. You gotta watch it.
All right.
It's gonna be good.
Okay. Yeah, so Thor Ragnarok. Were we talking about Into the Shadows?
No.
Before we were recording, people are gonna be like, why did Adam just say that? Yes, we were talking about Taika Waititi earlier, Into the Shadows, with Jemaine Clement, who's one of my favorite people of all time.
Right.
He's a funny man. We're not going to do a Clone Cast recommends. I thought of something like maybe on this day in Star Wars history, somebody was born or something.
Oh, okay.
And we could do a song from when they were born. So I'm going to play a clip of this particular actress, and then we'll take a listen to the number one song on the day she was born. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
We'll
all right.
Roger, roger.
Uh-oh. Got to keep that hum in there. TC-14.
That's right.
November 7th, Lindsay Duncan was born. Lindsay Duncan, the voice of TC-14. Care to wager the year Lindsay Duncan was born?
1972.
I wish. 1950.
Wow!
So we got the number one song in America from November 7th, 1950. The birth date of TC14, Lindsay Duncan. This song... Now, I just downloaded it. I didn't listen to it. So we're both going in. So this is the number one song in America in November of 1950. It's called Harbor Lights by Sammy Kay.
Okay.
Maybe we'll listen to a little bit, and then we'll decide if it's bad or good. Okay.
It's got a Polynesian feel to it.
I saw the harbor lights. They only told me we were partying.
Oh, okay, so they're separating on a boat. They're saying goodbye to each other at the port.
What if we both just fell asleep right now?
You know, there's some people that have been dead for 15 years now that were having sex in the back of a Cadillac listening to this song and, like, Overlook Pass, you know? Just pounding it out in the Cadillac. Alright, look. Not my style.
No.
I long to hold.
Got some pipes.
Ooh. All right. Well,
you know what? Maybe we judged a little too quickly.
We'll let him cook a little more. We'll give him another chance to win us back.
But I was on the ship.
Sammy Kay?
Sammy Kay. Look up Sammy Kay. Maybe we can catch him at Turtle Island. Turtle, St. Croix Turtle, whatever it's called. The Turtle Casino.
For all the while my heart is whispering.
St. Barnabas.
Captain.
I think the song came. I'm done with it. So Lindsay Duncan, household name. November 7th, 1950.
TC14.
Harbor Lights by Sammy Kay and the Vagabonds. Then all their troops have like they'd have the singer, and then they'd have like it's Dick Darbar and the fucking, you know, the.
Well, he's not playing Turtle Lake.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to say. He died June 2nd, 1987 at the age of 77.
He never saw a Minnesota Twins World Series victory.
Nope.
God! He just missed it. If he would have waited 5 more months, he would have seen him. I have no idea. I probably. Where was he from?
Lakewood, Ohio.
Lakewood, Ohio. Born and bred in the USA. Very good. They got good politics over there, don't they?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Okay. Should we get into the episode?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, let's do it.
How much are they paying? No,
that's no, the wrong one.
Listen to the Clunkcast on Wednesdays. That's what you say you love. Each new segment's a blast.
Yada-da.
Because they say...
All right. So... Kindred, we're just moving along on this final season here.
Yeah, we are.
This one, I'll say, the first time I watched it, I was like, pfft. Second time, I was like, I really like this episode.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's the end stuff, the lore and the mysticism got to me.
I don't know what's wrong with the first time you watched it, but this episode's good.
Yeah. No, well, I ended up coming to that conclusion. I think it was maybe because I was just tired.
Yeah.
When I watch it, because I usually put the next episode on when I lay down.
Night of.
I,
yeah.
But, yeah, when I watched it through again, it's got it all. Did you laugh out loud at that one part?
Which one?
When Zeb almost gets his head taken off. Yeah. By Ryder Azadi in the penis helmet. Okay, all right. I laughed at that. Okay, so we're on Lothal now. We're starting to establish some rebellious ventures there. They've stolen the hyperdrive from the TIE Defender. They've hidden it. Now they just need to figure out how to get the fuck out. They got to get this information for the TIE Defender off of Lothal and to the rebels on Yavin 4, but they need to install the hyperdrive on their little shitty ship that doesn't have hyperdrive. That's where we left off.
Yep, and luckily Ezra was able to hide it in an alcove or a cave. Yeah.
And he somehow forgets where it's at. And I'm like, no, it's the conch that is a completely different color. And
every single viewer is like, right there.
Luckily, we have Loth cats. But the show actually opens up. Now, this is a heavy Kanan and Hera episode. I mean, like,
they are laying it on thick.
Yeah. So we open with Kanan is out meditating and Hera's going to go chat it up with him. So let's take a listen to our first clip. Is it not playing?
You know they already left to get the hyperdrive. Figured you'd go.
I wanted to stay. It's funny. No matter what happens, we always end up back here. On Lothal.
Well, Ezra has a strong connection to this place. It is his home.
Before we knew Ezra, we were drawn here.
The mission was here.
There were a lot of missions in a lot of places, but we kept coming back.
Are you saying we were meant to come here? Maybe to meet Ezra?
I don't know. Something like that. But there's more to it. I'm just not sure what.
Okay. So Kanan's just got a feeling. It's like the Lothwolf, is that representative of the Grim Reaper?
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, that's the vibe I'm getting here, knowing what I know.
Even later in this episode, they seem very standoffish, but also you can kind of trust them.
Yeah. It's interesting.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. I'm curious to where this goes.
Doom.
Yeah. Now, when they keep saying doom after you say something like, the Empire is building a weapon of mass destruction here, we need to, and they go, doom. I'm like, I don't think he's saying your last name, brah. I think he's telling you, you guys are fucked. That's where my mind would go. Like, doom? Like, the first time Ezra heard that, I would have been like, whoa, fuck. The wolf just said doom to me.
Kanan's just a narcissist. He's not able to separate himself from the situation.
The wolf is like, that's what you got from that? The wolf is in there. I'm a fucking wolf talking to you. And you think I'm saying your last fucking name? Doom.
Someone's a little egotistical.
Yeah. I'm guessing Kanan just has a feel around the wolf. You just kind of feel it, you know? But yeah, so Kanan and Hera, just having a moment together.
You can tell they're really trying to lay on, like, Kanan and Hera, and especially, like, the music swells in that, too, or something different.
And we'll get it fleshed out a little more coming up in a couple more clips, so.
It was almost like an eerie opening.
Yeah, it was. I don't know, man. It's just, it feels very Grim Reaper-ish. It just, like, Kanan can sense a big change, a big wave is coming, and I think he knows. I think he knows that this is, like, the end of the line for him.
He's got a feeling.
He's got a feeling. You ever listen to that song by the Black Eyed Peas? You ever hear that one?
I like the Beatles one more.
Oh, yeah. Well, I've got a feeling.
Yeah.
But you ever that Black Eyed Peas one?
Yeah.
Yeah. You ever dance to that?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, at like, a wedding?
Yeah, that's where they always play
it. Yeah. You like that song?
No.
Okay.
No, not particularly.
Not a big Black Eyed Peas guy, huh?
Jeff Tweedy of Wilco, there is a video of him doing a live cover of that where he comments on, like this song, the lyrics are crazy. But it's a good cover.
Yeah.
He does it acoustically.
Oh. Sounds good. I'll have to check that out. Maybe that's a preview of an upcoming Clonecast Recommends. I just like stomping to it, you know? Get stomping and moving around.
Yeah, you pull an Ahmed Best on it.
Yeah. It's fun. He was in Stomp. I forgot about that. Yeah. That rules. We should try to find the video of, that was a play, right? Like they went around and performed
Broadway.
A concert or something. Do you think there's any video of Ahmed Best doing the Stomp?
I'm sure there is. I'm sure you could track it down.
Man, that guy's had a wild ride.
Yes, he has.
And he seems to have come out on top. So good for him.
Yeah.
We're happy for him. He's a nice guy.
Only took 18 years or so, but here we are.
What's that saying? Smart guy comes in. He's like, well, you know, they say if you're going through hell, keep going. I don't know why I got the smart guys.
I know.
What was the one I used earlier?
I simultaneously hate it and love it.
What was the thing I said earlier?
I don't know. You're talking about big brain smart guy.
Oh, Conversations. I was like, you know, you hear people like gossiping and just go up to them and just go, you know, they say that small people. Oh, what is it? I can't even remember it now. They say, what was it? I don't even remember what it was anymore. Oh, they say small minds talk about other people. Big minds talk about ideas.
That's what it was.
Why am I slowly turning into Matthew McConaughey? Like, the more I smoke of this, I'm turning more and more into, all right.
Yeah.
You know? Oh, I'm becoming that guy now. Okay. So, we get to Arinda Price, and she's leading the search here in LaFall for the hyperdrive. We get Thrawn on the hall, and he's like, yeah, you haven't been doing that hot lately. They keep getting away from you. I'm sending my boy, my special agent, my assassin, Rook.
The way Thrawn says it, he puts some stink on it, too.
Now, this is not the first time I've met Rook.
Right.
I met Rook in Heir of the Empire.
Yep.
So Rook is known to me. So it was cool seeing him displayed. And I mentioned earlier, he really does look like the Hunchback of Notre Dame had sex with Killer Croc from the Batman the Animated Series, and he was their child.
Yeah. So he is a fully fleshed out character in the Thrawn trilogy by Timothy Zahn.
Yeah.
But looks wise, I think they took liberties, because I think in that they're a little bit more reptilian.
Yeah.
I watched a video that was talking about Timothy Zahn came up with the concept of this species of like short lizard guys.
Uh-huh.
Apparently these were supposed to be the Sith, or at least this is what this video was saying. Like, Timothy Zahn came up with this concept of like, this was going to be a race called the Sith, and Vader like pledged his allegiance to them, which made him the Lord of the Sith.
Okay.
But then apparently he pitched that to Lucas, and Lucas was like, nah, don't put that in there. I want to do something else with that.
Well, it's probably a good thing he did.
Yeah.
I think it all turned out nicely.
But there was also a note in there about like Timothy Zahn, the way that he wanted them to look was close to like, he wanted to give them features like Vader's helmet. So like, in the expanded universe, it would be like Vader kind of fashioned his helmet off of these natural beings and stuff.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. But apparently that didn't make it into the books or anything.
That is an interesting little nugget, though. I mean, I don't know. It is funny when you think about like the original series, and they don't even say the word Sith once.
Yeah, not
it's
once.
Not really even a thing. And the amount of lore that they've built out on it, it's just like my favorite part of Star Wars.
I know.
I love the Sith, dude. Yep. It's just the coolest shit. So Rook is coming. We get to Ezra and Jai. Now, you remember Jai is the guy from old Joe's place, and also at the Imperial Academy. Jai is with, and Ezra and Jai are wearing the Scout Trooper get ups. So
it's nice armor.
Yeah, it is good armor. I am a Scout Trooper fan. I think it's cool.
I love how the mask just kind of pops up like that.
It's very handy. Zeb is also there, and they're all trying to locate this hyperdrive. Ezra can't remember where he left it. Luckily, a friendly Loth cat comes by and gives the assistance like, yeah, it's right there, the big red conch. That one that looks completely different than everything else and is very small and fits right in this
the
crevice.
One that has drag marks leading up to it.
Yeah. They just want to feed us Loth cats, I think.
It is funny. Loth cat's killing it right off the bat again.
Yeah.
I audibly laughed when like Governor Price just got done telling Thrawn, like, I don't need assistance. I have no problem. I have the situation under control. And then the camera like pans 50 feet to the right, and that's where they are. Yeah.
They're not that far away.
Right there.
Yeah. Because they moved that thing on foot. Sabine and Ezra moved that thing on foot before they hit it. And so they didn't get that far.
Yeah. It was just hilarious to be like, I have this completely under control. Yeah.
Now, we should say Arinda Price wearing hood. She's wearing Veo's hood.
Oh, I wrote that down.
Yeah. Very interesting. I kind of like the look on
her. Yep.
I kind of got, oh, I want you to yell at me vibes, you know? Like, please yell at me, please.
Uh-huh.
So they're trying to locate this hyperdrive. Lothcat assists. But it's at this point that they're starting to run out of time because at the crash site where all the Imperials are at, not too far away, the search shuttle arrives, and it has a guest, and that guest is Rook. So it's going to be our next clip here, and let's take a listen to what he sounds like. I bet it's very friendly, probably Barney-like.
As you must know, I'm Governor Price. I assume you are Thrawn's assassin, Rook?
I smell it.
You smell what?
I smell the Sat. And he's not alone.
Dude just starts running. Now, when he runs, he gets down on, like, all fours.
Ezra,
gallops.
We have a problem.
Hey, look on the binoculars, you see this ball
what
just...
What is that? I don't know. And I don't think I want to know.
We'll draw them away. You get the hyperdrive out of here.
Just let me blast it. It's okay. I can get us out of this.
Okay, so Ezra, they're going to put the scout trooper helmets on, and they're going to try to just pretend like, nothing to see here, buddy. No. Yeah, you're in the wrong spot. Little gremlin.
He is good. The second he steps on terra firma,
yeah,
he is at work.
Yeah, immediately. Dude, can you imagine if you took a dump around this guy? Like, God. I would not want to have that level of sense.
That's why the Voth cat is hanging out. It's probably just pissing all over the place to try to mask their smell.
You see Rook just, like, going to, like, spot after spot, just sniffing. Like a dog, he just stops and he pees everywhere, marking territory. It's a little, it's a war of attrition with the Loth
yeah.
cats who can mark up the conches the most. That'd be fun.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Ezra goes up to him. He's like, hey, yeah, don't worry. It's all fine here. And Rook's just kind of like looking, trying to look past him. And you kind of get the vibe that Rook, for a second, may think that they're actually Imperials. But he quickly just attacks.
Well, and he starts smelling Ezra right away, too.
Yeah. So he attacks, and Ezra's trying to hold him off, and Jai is taking some of the worst shots ever. Like, literally almost shooting Ezra on the ground.
Maybe it's the armor itself that makes Stormtrooper such a bad shot.
Yeah. It just does something.
And Rook also is... I saw his size be compared to... He's the size of a Jawa, however, he's very nimble, and he's a worthy adversary.
Yeah, I mean, this dude can move. I mean, he moved, man.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's very agile. He jumps and, like, attacks Ezra and kind of just knocks him down. And, yeah, I mean, he's a force to be reckoned with.
He wastes no time.
Now, he's a Nagri. You would think the Empire would be stacking these Nagris on their side. Because these guys, they can... You could have them lead a battle. You could also get them in, like, a tight space.
Yep.
You know?
In the expanded universe,
these guys are the Swiss Army knife of the Imperial battle armada.
In the expanded universe, it's something like the Empire, like, poisoned their planet. Like, so Vader could come in and be like, well, your planet was poisoned. I can help you, like, restore it. And they kind of, like, pledge themselves to Vader. But then the Empire just continued poisoning their planet. So they, like... always had a reason to come back to the Empire.
Okay.
But then there's something also weird where, like, a group of them meets Princess Leia, and then they smell that she's also related to Vader, and they, like, pledge themselves to her, too. I don't know if this is all in the Thrawn novel or if it's in a different thing.
So,
I watched a hell of a video.
So the Nagri are, like, the 21 in me of all factory senses?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very interesting. Now, when I read Heir to the Empire the first time, the idea of a Rook that I had in my mind, I looked him up here. It's Randall Boggs from Monsters, Inc.
Oh, sure,
I just kept seeing him for whatever reason, no matter how he's described. I can't really remember, but as soon as I heard it, like, okay, yeah, it's that weird, creepy salamander
yeah.
from Monsters, Inc. But yeah, so they get in a real melee there. It's Ezra eventually gets him out of there with a force push, but a bunch of Imperials have arrived at this point. Ezra and Jai hop on a motorbike and get the hell out of there, and speeder. Rook gives chase on another one. We see Zeb. He's just kind of hiding, and he's holding this big old hyperdrive, and he's just hiding. And Price and some of her stormtroopers are wandering the area. He's up high on a conch ledge. And Price is really, I mean, the ineptitude is alarming because they just don't guard the transport. And Zeb just quietly, Zeb just quietly goes behind them, jumps down from the conch ledge, quietly goes behind him and just hijacks it and just takes off right by him.
In the background, you see the guard get thrown out of the transport.
There's the one guard in the transport, but
I just had the image of the guard just being on his phone, like behind the wheel while he was waiting.
Totally.
Being it, making it very easy for
it's
Zeb
like when
to
I'm at a lift stop and I've been waiting for 4 minutes and I have the doors locked and I'm just sitting there playing on the phone and like all of a sudden the person finally shows up. I'm like, oh, okay. And they're like, why are you on celebrity feet? You know, like. The Ithorian man and I, we had a brief debate about, I can't even remember what it was. There was some claim that it doesn't matter. I can't even remember. I couldn't even make this story entertaining at this point because I have no idea what it was. I was like, oh, I'm going to talk about that on the podcast. And now I have no idea what it was and why I thought of it. Maybe it's a good thing I forgot because who knows where we would go with it. But, I also did see a thing in my reminders that I must have been really baked when I wrote it. But I vaguely remember it said, ask Adam about diabetic clothing. I don't know. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. That's what it said. It was in my reminders. And I was like, it said, ask Adam about diabetic clothing next time you're
recording.
Well,
if there is a specific brand of clothing I'm supposed to wear to indicate that I'm
maybe
diabetic.
That's what it is. Maybe I saw a specific, like a diabetics, you know, a shirt for diabetics or something. I don't know. I really don't know.
Please be patient with me. I have diabetes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something like that. As you sleep on the floor of a Chipotle. It's got a little sign there.
Bring me cranberry juice.
Put some, you know, take like a stack of 15 of the paper bags and make me a makeshift pillow. Okay. So,
in my note, I wrote down, is Price a moron?
I don't know.
Like, really?
I mean, they did have the driver there, but like, just like the amount of, you're the Empire and you have these endless resources. You have bodies upon bodies that you could throw out there. And you've been bested by this particular group of rebels.
Just over and over again.
Yes. And it's just, it's an exercise in futility. It's like, why are you not covering your bases at this point at every waking moment when you know they're nearby?
Yeah.
You have the resources to do it, so why aren't you? So part of me is like, well, they left the guy in the transport. They're not idiots. I mean, they did have a trooper in there. And then another part of me is like, yeah, but you think they would know better.
Yeah.
So I don't know. She does have the cool hood on, though.
She does.
Yeah. Oh, love a lady in uniform.
The Veer's vest. That's a...
Yeah.
That's something.
Remember when you got the Veer's Walgreens exclusive black series?
Yes, that was a great one.
Where is that?
It's somewhere in a bin.
Downstairs here.
Yeah. Yep.
We have so many toys just in bins. We're like literally like a Toys R Us here. It's just
when they were peppering the walls, they were for something.
Oh, that's what I wanted to show you that I didn't show you last time.
Oh, I've been looking at that, yeah.
I couldn't resist. I picked up an Ayla Sakura Black Series that I saw at Target.
Oh, it's nice.
Yeah.
It's got a good mold to it.
When is this from, though, this version? Because it doesn't have the annoying box, though.
Yeah, it's newer.
It doesn't have the good box, the annoying box, though.
They re-released it for some reason.
As this.
Yeah.
Without the creepy box.
Right.
The box where you never see the action figure.
Yep.
Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, I bought an Ayla Sakura.
I made it in just under the wire before they started going plastic free.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
Have you bought any of the eco-friendly boxes?
Nope. What is the point?
I guess if you're going to open it, maybe.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, I don't really. How many of those have you opened?
None.
None.
No, they look great on a wall or on a shelf.
Yeah. I've opened two or three.
Yeah.
I opened a Wrecker. I did open a Wrecker.
The Obi-Wan?
That Obi-Wan one, which was just like a $20.
Yeah.
I opened that one. Yeah, and the Wrecker. I'm trying to think if there's any other ones. No, I don't think there is. Should I open the nipples variant of Padme?
I did look for the Hutt Slayer Leia when I was at Cedar Cliff, and I couldn't find it. So
gone?
I don't know if he sold it or if it's just buried under
a mound.
Well,
when I went in there, it was nothing but anime boobs.
Yeah.
And then you go in there, and apparently I bet you somebody came in, just the sweatiest guy came in and bought just stacks of it.
We're going to have to, we'll be paying him another visit here next week.
Oh, we're going to go see Steve. Okay. So, yeah, Zeb hijacks this transport, drives right past him. It's very funny. We get to Ezra and Jai being pursued on the speeders by Rook and a scout trooper that is also joined. And this is a fun conch pursuit. Fast and the Furious through the fields of wheat and conch. It's very fun.
It's a good chase.
Yeah, we see Rook. He does this move where he just throws like this tiny little Batman tracker and just hits it right on their motorbike. Now, I don't... Do we know if he knows he landed it?
I don't know.
Because he looks... When they finally do get away from him, he looks very upset.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, doesn't he have the tracker? Doesn't you know about that? But maybe he doesn't know that he actually hit it.
Well, and we've seen, like, I don't know, in Batman and some other, like, properties, when they throw the tracker on, they kind of don't even pursue.
Yeah.
But he just keeps going.
Yeah, he keeps going. I think he's got the bloodlust, you know?
He is effective.
He's an effective assassin for sure. But yeah, so it continues. We see a conch assist. So Ezra, he's able to cut the conch down, bring it down, and he cuts off the scout trooper. But Rook just pushes forward in this little, and he just goes over the conch.
Yeah.
He gets vertical. He goes high. He gets over the conch. And it's at this point, though, that Ezra gets a clean shot as Jai's driving, and he just blows up.
It's like every situation that would stop a normal stormtrooper, like, Rook finds a way to keep going.
I mean, his agility is comparable to a Jedi.
He just saw a stormtrooper get his brain smashed by a boulder, and he still just, like, kept going.
Yeah. His agility is really impressive. But the speeder bike gets taken out by Ezra, and he just grabs onto a conch and then, like, grunts in anger as they drive away. Ezra gives him a little smug salute. We're going to get our next clip, and it's going to be a little more Kanan and Hera stuff. And then we're also going to get Ezra returning, and turns out Rook finds out where they are because, as we said, he put the tracker in. So that's going to be our next clip here. A little bit longer one.
Zeb should be here soon. You ready? I should be able to just drop the hyperdrive in and run power to it.
This ship is old.
Why didn't Sabine go with?
There's no guarantee that the Venus hyperdrive will even work in this thing, never mind the Imperial blockade.
Getting this TIE Defender data to the Rebellion is vital.
When are you going to feel you've done enough for this Rebellion?
I guess when the Empire is overthrown and people are free to live their lives the way they want again.
And when that time comes, how do you want to live your life?
I don't know. Guess I never really thought about it.
So I guess you really never thought about us.
Kanan, we've talked about that before.
Have we?
You know how I feel.
Do I?
You're going for a smooch.
Hey, excuse me. We've got incoming.
Ryder Azadi.
Oh, man.
I want to pause there for a second.
They shared a room this entire series, did they not?
I think so.
It's just weird that they're playing this whole, like, will they, won't they, when they, like, seem to be sharing almost a marital bed.
Yeah, and I always got the assumption that they just were together.
Yeah, me too.
But now Kanan's like, well, what about us? And she's like, it's like, I thought this was already known. Maybe he means what about us as in how long do we want to be rebels? Like, do we want
right.
a life
yes,
outside of this?
I can see that.
But the vibe I got from the conversation was like, he's like, why aren't
what
we making
are we?
This official?
Right.
Like, why are we doing this coy shit when we could just be fully together? Is how I kind of took it. So I'm kind of confused about the nature of their relationship at this point. I mean, I read a New Dawn novel and they hit it off in that. And that's well before this.
Yes.
So I don't know. I think it just must be him. I think he's kind of. I don't know, maybe being here on Lothal and all these odd emotions that he's going through and the senses going nuts and
needs something definitive.
Yeah, he wants to hold on to something maybe. And he kind of has this yearning for a normal life maybe.
He wants to go the Cutla Kane route.
Yeah, he wants to Cutla Kane it up. Now, interesting how Cutla Kane's kid looked and then how his kid looks. They're different. Very different. I'd be interested to see the science behind a half Twi'lek, half human.
Oh, boy. We're getting into race science now.
Okay. Well, come on. Come on.
I come in next week and there's a phrenology head in here.
Yeah.
The cranial ridge of Canaan would indicate.
Oh, man. I should get one of those heads.
Yeah.
What happened to that skull I had? Remember the skull? Remember the skull?
Yeah.
Where is it?
When you told me you bought a skull, I laughed for a while.
I mean, it's clearly a fake skull.
Yes.
But where is it?
That's when you were in the midst of your philosophy book obsession.
I mean, that was the existential dread.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was. No, I'm just kind of curious what the true nature of their relationship is.
Oh, yeah.
Thus far.
Me too.
And Kanan certainly does seem to be staying back from a lot of missions because I think he's, you know,
trying to take it easy.
Oh,
yeah.
He's in heat.
Uh-huh. You know,
he needs to release. You never watched Star Trek Voyager?
No. Huh?
You really need to watch some of these shows so you can at least play off my references. So like Vulcans need to mate every like 7 years, right? And Tuvok, the Vulcan, the story of Voyager is they get hit by this like this shockwave from this like entity.
Is
and
this before or after Next Generation?
This is like after DS9.
No, but I'm saying like in canon.
Similar era.
Okay.
Within 10 years of each other,
okay.
I'd say. Very similar era. DS9, TNG, and Voyager are all kind of right in that.
Gotcha.
Late 2300s. I don't know what star date that is. Anyways, so they get... This entity shoots them way out into the Delta Quadrant, and that is, like, the four quadrants of the galaxy. That is the furthest, and it, like, max warp takes, like, I don't remember the exact number, but it was, like, 80 years to get back to Earth. So it knocks them all the way that, and so they're, like, lost, and they're just, you know, it's just this one ship and her crew, and they're trying to find their way back home. But Tuvok the Vulcan, he needs to mate every 7 years. Otherwise, he just dies. So I can kind of just imagine Kanan like going through the, I think it's called like the pate.
He's got
or
the
something.
Itch.
He's yeah. He's got the Vulcan itch. He needs to, yeah. He needs to. Well, I think they resolve it by putting him in the holodeck and he like fucks a holodeck. Which is like, that's what everybody's probably using it for.
Spray him with a hose.
Dude, who's the poor fucking janitor, the custodian that has to go in and clean up the holodeck?
Just every 15 minutes, like, son of a bitch!
Just loads everywhere. Just pissed. Just, just this filthy mess. What once was a peaceful park turns into this dark cube of just cum. Just disgusting. Man. Especially after, like, Riker's been in there. Just having orgies. Anyways, that's how we get off topic. Let's continue our clip, though. I just kind of wanted to discuss that separately from the rest
of
the clip.
It was odd.
It was odd. So the transport pulls up. We all know it's Zeb.
Look what I got.
Right, or Zadi instinctively shoots at Zeb, just barely
should have
misses
mentioned
his
I
head.
Stole the transport.
Good job. Looks like our hyperdrive problem is solved.
Yeah, well, you know how one problem usually leads to another?
Yeah.
We have another. And it's small, creepy, and very dangerous.
I've located the rebel camp. Transmitting coordinates.
Okay, so, you know, Rook had his little Batman device on there and tracked him back to the base. You would think that they would do, like, detailed checks of these sorts of things after engagements.
No, doesn't seem like it. They're just jumping at the opportunity.
Just like you would think the Empire would have more stormtroopers guarding a transport when they're dealing with these rebels.
They did bring two of the cool Rogue One tanks with them.
Yeah. It's fun. They do look cool. I do like those a lot. They got a Lego set of that?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm getting the itch. What's it called? Like the Ponte.
Vulcan
sex thing. Hold on. Vulcan sex thing. Sexual desire, activity. What is Vulcan sex madness? Every 7 years, Vulcan males and females experience an overpowering hormone imbalance known as Ponfar. Once triggered, a Vulcan must have sexual intercourse with someone, or the chemical imbalance may cause insanity, loss of self-control, and death.
There's that one pillow on the Voyager that is safe.
Yeah. Vulcan's a very rocky planet. I can just imagine there's like a cave settlement far outside like the main city that's just like all the incels that went insane and they started their own. Yeah. It's where the incels go insane. Wouldn't you just masturbate?
You'd think.
Vulcans are like near human. Like they're completely compatible with humans.
They're just very tradcath. So yeah. They'd rather die than do that.
It's a sin! No, I think it is funny how they just get them to have sex in the holodeck. Imagine if I'm getting off balance. Tom, you said you were doing it. We're doing it. Let's push forward. I wanted to talk about MacGruber. You still haven't seen that, have you?
No.
The sex scene, man. You got to see it. Okay. So, Sabine gets the install in. She's like, I give it a 50-50 chance of working. The Imperials are pulling up, though, so they really don't have much of a choice. We see Price and Rook. They're just kind of bickering with each other about how to proceed, this and that. Price is like, well, you let him get away. It's like, dude, he like did way more than you've done thus far.
That was the craziest part.
Like, yeah, they got away, but they actually had to try. With you, they're just stealing shit left and right.
It is fucking Rick's
that
she is giving him crap about losing them.
It is kind of funny to watch Price be incompetent because reading through the novels and Price, how she kind of came to power and got in with good with Tarkin. Like, she wasn't... Like, she, you know, like, she's cunning in certain ways, but in other ways, she's probably not the most adept military tactician. You know, she's a good fighter hand-to-hand, but I never got the sense that she was a military tactician. She's more of, like, a diplomat, a politician.
Sure.
So I think...
She's good at navigating bureaucracy.
She's good at navigating bureaucracy and making friends with people that matter. She is well-trained in, like, martial arts, but she's not a military advisor, which is why I find it funny that as governor of Lothal, she's leading like military, you know, you think they would have like a commander of some kind doing these things.
Well, isn't that like what sometimes like dictators will do?
I mean, Tarkin was one who noticeably just like threw himself into the Imperial Navy and like was basically like the de facto head of it.
But at least he served in the Clone Wars. Like he had
experience. Like, yeah, and so when I'm thinking about him, he was a governor, but he was, you know,
right.
I don't know. I just find it odd. You know, you would think that you would appoint a high-ranking officer. You know, like the doofus guys that they killed off. Those guys had it all under control, man. Doofus guys. We see Jai. He's taken off with some of the supplies to get out of there. Sabina's like...
Yeah, speaking of which, it's always... I feel so bad for Zeb. It's always Zeb that's carrying crates around the landing pad. Like, nobody else is helping. It's just
hiding
by default.
Hiding while carrying the hyperdrive for a literal starship. You know, like... That's the shitty... That just feels awful.
I get it,
awful.
He's strong, but...
Oh, just... His arms must be so tired sometimes. Sabine is super nervous about this, though, because like she said, it's only a 50-50 chance of working, and she's like, if I had more time, but Hera reassures her, and it's a very loving Hera mom moment where she's just like, I believe in you, and, you know, I trust you, don't worry, it's going to be fine. And Kanan then goes up to Hera, and he's like, hey, about earlier, and I'm like, yeah, about earlier, can we get some more information on whatever the fuck that was? But she's just like, shut up, and just kisses him in front of everybody.
Lays one on him.
So I guess that means they're official now, right?
I guess?
Yeah, finally.
They're coming out publicly.
After 10 years, finally. We kissed. We kissed in public.
Yeah, sleeping in the same bed. That didn't do it, but one little peck.
I can just see, like, every single night Kanan is just restless, and you see him just, like, sort of putting his arm over, and then he stops himself, and he, like, sighs to himself. He's like, ugh! You know, and he's like, oh, fuck, I can't.
Just can't.
She's just literally, I've been waiting for you to put your fucking arm around me for 10 years, Kanan. So she just finally was like, you know what? I might die, so I'm just going to kiss you now.
What if we get a glimpse of their room and they're sleeping in two separate bunk beds?
Yeah.
On two sides of the different room?
Yeah. It would be nice if they had like a little coffee table in between, though, where they could hold hands together.
That would be nice.
You rest your hands on that. That'd be nice. That's innovative. Do you think anybody ever did that?
I'm sure.
Okay. Never mind. I thought I came up with something. I'm trying to come original. What is that song? Come original.
I'm sure that was like big in the Victorian era. It's probably got some fancy name.
You know, it would be funny to me, though, now that they've kissed, if it's just like literally the ghost just turns into like the set of a porno. Like, all bets are off now. Like, Kanan and Hera are just like bunnies, you know, just
that
going at it.
Or this is just the beginning of the end. Their relationship takes a turn and they just can't stand each other now that they're like official.
I don't know. I'm really curious about Jason. And as we kind of like learn about him and when we do eventually meet him, I'm kind of curious just like the timeline.
How this is working.
Yeah. When was the baby conceived?
Yeah.
Like, have we reached that point yet? Are we not there yet?
Well, what's the gestational period?
I'm really just trying to figure out if they've had sex and if so, how much? Because I'm just curious. This episode, like, it did a lot for their characters in a sense, but it also made me more confused about their relationship ever.
What if this is like a Pretty Woman situation where they've been banging this whole time, but they've never kissed on the lips, and this is the first step in their actual relationship?
That'd be really weird.
Yeah. And then Jason Alexander shows up and makes you feel really uncomfortable.
Oh, God, that scene. I mean, the guy's a hell of an actor, but that scene is brutal.
Yeah.
Okay. So, she lays one on him, and then when she's leaving, she looks at him and says, "May the Force be with you," which I found quite endearing. Yeah. It was nice. So Hera takes off, and we see Price. She's like, alert Grand Admiral Thrawn that they're taking off in this ship. We get out. Hera gets out into breaks the atmosphere and gets out, and there's just like a ton of blockade activity going on here.
Oh, yeah.
There's all these like, they're like teardrop looking upside down teardrop. I don't know.
They're like space stations.
They look like weird hot air balloons, kind of.
Yeah.
But they're space stations.
They seem like the mining balloons outside of Cloud City on
Bespin.
Okay.
Yeah. But they're really cool, and they have like in the middle of them, they have like a hangar for ships. And that comes into play in one of the cooler moments we've seen in a while. We'll talk about that shortly, though.
Oh, you know what they're like? They're like, what the hell's the name of those ships? They're the Separatist things in Phantom Menace.
Lucra Hulk.
And then
the Lucra Hulk ships.
On Geonosis, you see one, like, launch from the planet, and it's just the, like, orb. And it goes into orbit, and it just locks in with the, like, donut with the bite taken out.
They should really do a Lucre Hulk UCS.
Oh,
that would be a fun set.
They make a generic one.
I know, and I'm not doing it because I know it's going to show up. I ordered about three things from China recently. From China. dude, I ordered some knockoff Jordan 11s. Best $40 I've ever spent.
Really?
They're great.
So, like, I've heard either it's phenomenal
or
horrible.
So now I trust that particular seller, and I'm like, well, we'll get these. I also got a Kirill Kaprizov Minnesota Wild jersey. I got the North. They have a variant that's a North Stars color, which is really cool.
Yeah.
Wild jersey that uses the North Stars color. So I got that. That one, great quality, but they got the size wrong. They gave me an XL. I want L, so it's a little long in the arms. I mean, it's fine.
You gonna order another one? I'll fit new in XL.
I could order another one. No, you can take a look at it.
All right.
Then I also ordered a Carlos Correa Twins jersey, which has not arrived yet.
Okay.
So fingers crossed on that one. But if you've ordered three things from DHgate, which is the site I use, and you hit all three relatively well, and the sizing is the only issue, you're doing all right.
Yeah.
I remember I ordered a Jimmy Butler jersey when we played with the Timberwolves, and they sent me an Andrew Wiggins, and it was two sizes too big. Now, Jimmy Butler.
It takes 4 months to get here.
Yeah. Now, that's also another thing. Sometimes it's like a month. Sometimes you get in 2 weeks. Sometimes it's 2 months. But then the other thing was, Jimmy Butler, he ended up going, whoop, whoop, and he fucking left town, and he got traded, right? So it kind of worked out.
Yeah.
Now I just have a really big Andrew Wiggins jersey, who also eventually got traded, but he stayed with the team longer. All right.
That's where you get your jerseys.
Oh, I've got jerseys up the Yazoo from China, dude. I love hitting China
they
for a jersey.
They all end up being like, what, $20? Something yeah. like that?
No, I mean, the Timberwolves just released a new city just in Jersey, and I was immediately on the line with Beijing. Ni hao!
Give me President Xi. Stat.
He's calling again. It's the guy in Minnesota that loves saying ni hao, because that's the only words he knows. Ni hao! Hi! Oh, man. Okay, we got it. Oh, man. Oh, God, we're getting close. Okay, so, yeah. Hera takes off. Price alerts the fleet. We see Hera navigating the blockade. The Imperials have arrived, and the rebels that are left are bunkering down. It's Sabine. It's Ryder Azadi. It's Ezra, and it is Kanan. They're the ones that are left there. Chopper is with Hera on the ship. But... like, they're getting about to get overran. They're having a little shootout with them. They're just kind of hiding behind some cargo. And then suddenly you hear a howl, and as the Lothwolf has appeared once again.
I love any time that there's, like, shit going on in space and stuff going on the surface at the same time.
Oh, yeah.
And they keep cutting back and forth between them.
I must say, like, the stuff out in space in this episode looks really cool.
Yeah.
It's a really well-done episode. Yep. Ezra, you know, sees this Lothwolf walk by and look at him. Now, these things haven't been seen for how long, did they say? Hundreds of years?
Yeah.
And Ryder Azadi's like, oh, a Lothwolf.
Hey, a Lothwolf.
Like, what the fuck? Aren't you a native to Lothal? He's just like, hey, there's that thing that's extinct. It's like if a fucking dinosaur walked down the street, like,
if
hey,
all of a, sudden,
a Triceratops.
We were hanging out with conspiracy friend, and a woolly mammoth came up, and he was like, guys, let's follow this woolly mammoth. And we were just like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, I just kind of like his reaction. They're just like, oh, Lothwolf. And
yeah.
It's just like, that's it? That's it,
you'd
man?
You'd think there'd be a little bit more shock. Even Ezra in the last episode was like, a Lothwolf.
I see a beaver or something. I freak out. I'm like, it's a beaver. Look at that guy. You ever see a beaver?
Oh, yeah.
They're cool.
Up at the cabin?
Yeah. When you see a beaver and you see him going, hey, gets under there, you know? But I'm just saying, like, I get excited if I, hey, it's a fucking beaver. Uh-huh. You know, like, I show more enthusiasm for, like, a beaver or a snapping turtle than fucking Ryder Azadi does for a fucking animal that was believed to be completely extinct for hundreds of years. Shame on Ryder Azadi. Shame. You know the shame lady from Game of Thrones is the lady from Ted Lasso?
Yeah. You didn't know that?
Well, I knew it. I know that.
She's got like a,
I'm just bringing it up.
Singing career, too.
Oh.
She's got some pipes.
I want her to yell at me. She's tall, too.
Yeah, speaking of tall women.
Oh. I should get back into my climbing phase. Where I really want to climb She-Hulk. Remember that when that was a thing?
Okay.
Dude, we're not going to hit the 2 hours. I mean, we're it's still like a...
It's going to come close.
It's coming close. We got to go. So, yeah, the Lothwolves appears, and Ezra's like, hey, we got to follow these guys. Trust me, man. Trust me. And Zeb does have it like, when things get weird, things get good, he says
that was
later,
a great
which
line.
I love. Yeah. Ryder seems very skeptical about it, but, you know, I mean, you got to kind of got to appreciate the mysticism of this situation. You got two Jedi here, man. If the Jedi's telling you, like, I think we should follow the extinct animal, maybe follow the extinct animal, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe... Ryder Azadi just doesn't really have that like a esoteric approach to life. He's
maybe
not
he's just like
in...
caught up with the war, and he just doesn't have time for this.
Yeah.
He doesn't have time for the wonderment of a creature appearing.
The penis is getting through to his head. Yeah, all he can think about is cock. This big old helmet there. So we see Price. She's calling for air support. The rebels do follow the Lothwolves. Price is going to call for air support, and she's like, I'm just going to bomb the shit out of this place, you know?
Yeah.
We're just going to take that route. We're just going to ice it all. We see Hera once again flying through, doing some nifty flying, and she does the coolest hyperspace jump.
It's really cool.
Ever. So she's about to get locked on by, what is the thing that they have that they're going to lock on to the ship?
It's
the tractor beam?
Some kind of tractor beam?
Something like that. She just goes straight for... One of these
hangar bays
that's in this like space station, this Imperial blockade space station, and she just fucking hits it, goes right into the hangar bay and takes off into hyperdrive.
Yeah,
it's fucking nuts
because it's open on both ends.
Yeah,
it's like if you have two sliding doors on a Huey.
It's
or
one
a
of those
minivan.
Things. It's like that. It's like that hollow field that keeps things in. Like, but a ship like a can pass through it.
But the like, she takes out the velocity of her takeoff. Like anything in the hangar just gets sucked into outer space.
Yeah,
so there was a shitload of like ties in there.
Yeah,
and pilots and troopers
left some damage in her wake, but the hyperdrive worked. Makes the jump. Her and Chopper are there back on their way to Yavin 4 with the information on the TIE Defender. So, very cool. After that, we're going to get to the Lothwolf Den.
And things start getting weird.
Yeah. We're going to get some wild clips now. So, our next clip is going to be in the den of the Lothwolf. And then also the TIE Bombers may be incoming here shortly.
Ezra!
I don't want to lose them! Come on! Hold it! Stay back!
Why have they stopped?
I don't know.
Ezra, stay back!
There is a way out of here. Isn't there? You wanted us to follow you, didn't you?
This is Bomber LS-21 approaching your position. What is our primary target?
Let's turn those mountains into dust.
Copy that, Command. Commencing bombing run.
What are you waiting for? Kanan? Kanan, it's looking...
At me. I know. What does it want?
I guess they were waiting for you.
Here of people. People following a wolf.
I guess we're not the first ones.
Hold on. Shut your light off.
What now, Ezra?
I'm not sure.
There wasn't a picture of wolves eating those people, was there?
Bombing the mountains.
Okay, so why did I do this?
I don't know. Why did you do that?
I don't know. Anyways, I ripped up the note sheet so it just has like a little strip left. Okay, so they're into the den. You know, there's the markings of these people on the wall, and they're following the wolves and this and that, and it's at about this point that these wolves, though, they get really, yeah, you heard it there. And then the Empire begins bombing the caves, and starts shaking, and Ezra's like, hey, let's all hold hands and follow the wolf. He grabs onto the wolf's tail. Oh, no! You know what just hit me, right?
What?
Oh, you know what just hit me. Guess.
I don't know. They are Lawful traveling hand in hand.
Yeah, it's a convoy. So the wolves, they're going to lead them through this cave, and then it just suddenly begins a mystic experience. Like, the acid is kicking in. Okay, here we go.
They took peyote before entering the sweat lodge.
But yeah,
cave.
So eventually they start stepping what appears to be just like, it's black. It's all black, but then there's ripples that it steps in, like almost like it's walking on dark water or something. It's very strange. And then we see them all coming to in this field, and they're awoken by a loth cat.
Oh, and they are in deep wheat.
They're, deep wheat. But yeah, so they're all just, they go through this, the cavern. It becomes this kind of mystical area where you're walking on this dark, deep, deep blue water.
And it is weird because it's the same white Lothcat that we've seen before. And this is the same Lothcat that Ezra tried pointing out to Sabine, and Sabine couldn't see it.
Yes. Now, this time, everybody's seeing the Lothcat.
Yes. Yeah.
Everybody's seeing the Lothcat. And it brings us to the end of the episode, which is might be the longest clip I've ever pulled, but I think there's a lot of stuff in here to unpack before we get into our ratings and stuff. So it's going to be a longer clip. I did decide to leave like the first 15 seconds, 20 seconds in where the Lothcat is making purring sounds because I find it endearing. So you'll have a slight ASMR experience, and then we're going to get forward with the show. They kind of, where are we? What just happened? And then Kanan and Ezra are going to have a conversation. So.
Oh, I want to pick him up. Oh, it's a buddy.
Oh!
I love the purrs. Oh, I love cats. You're a big cat guy, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Can't live without him.
Where in blazes are we?
Let's find out.
Imagine being allergic to all that wheat.
You're not gonna believe this. We were in the northern hemisphere. Now we're in the southern hemisphere.
Best wheat in the
somehow,
best wheat in Lothal is in the southern
we've
hemisphere.
We've moved halfway across the planet.
They got the Ascend ability from Tears of the Kingdom.
Oh, I'm not even gonna ask how we got here.
Ezra. How did you know the wolves
I
could
do want to
that?
Send in one of those conches, because the conches here in the southern hemisphere, it's like a carved out base that they got there. It's a very interesting setup. Kanan's in like a Kanan. Little area here looking at the wall. There's wall art everywhere.
Look around,
oh, wait,
Ezra.
He's not looking at it.
Tell
sorry.
Me what you see.
This place
what do you
reminds
see, Ezra?
Me of the Jedi
I've been
temple
looking at
here
it.
On Lothal. The walls are telling a story. There are people coming down from the sky. I think they might be Jedi.
There's a message here for us.
Because we're Jedi?
See, right here I'd be like, what the fuck?
What does that mean? The wolf said it before.
Doom is my name. Caleb Doom is the name I was born with.
Well, how does the wolf know that?
It has a deep connection to the Force, to the energy of this planet.
Don't all living things?
This is different. More focused. Like it has a purpose.
And we're a part of it.
I'm getting a feeling building the TIE Defender isn't the worst thing the Empire's doing here. There's something else. Something more sinister.
See, you say that and then you say Doom. I'm kind of like,
well, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So, all the paths are coming together, right?
Yeah. I'm just not sure if we're going to like where they lead.
Do we ever?
No. And yes.
I wonder if Hera made it.
I know she did.
See Hera arriving on Yavin 4.
You forget that she lost the ghost.
Yeah. The ghost is parked very nicely waiting yeah. for her. Alright. So, that brings us to the end of the episode. You see her handing Mon Mothma the information on the TIE Defender. So yeah, she arrived safely on Yavin 4. I do like that line from Kanan. I know she did. I like
yeah.
that a lot.
Yep.
They do definitely have a connection.
It's reminiscent of Leia after the second Death Star blows up.
When yeah.
Han gets
yes.
all jealous.
Yeah.
She's like, I can feel it. He made it.
Yeah. That Han. Okay, but that brings us to the end of the episode. So I don't know. It's just Kanan getting very mystical. I don't know. He knows something is up. I'd be interesting to see where this goes in the coming episodes. Some cool storyline building here. I like how they're kind of fleshing this out. And the weed is great. Great Southern Hemisphere wheat. I mean, this they wake up in just the wheat.
Yep.
The deep wheat. So, yeah. What does IMDb give this one?
IMDb is giving this one an 8.0.
Only an 8.0. I'm going to go with an 8.75.
8.75.
I don't think I've ever given an 8.75. Sounds good to me. Yeah, I mean, it's Rook's an interesting character. Was fun to watch. There was some slight... That Zeb scene where he almost gets his head blown off was kind of funny. it was well done. Yeah, I don't know. It was just enjoyable. I'm really curious more than anything after watching this. Curious more about Kanan and Hera and what we're going to learn about their connection. Curious about... is that going to be their new base on Lothal, this Southern Hemisphere base? And, you know, I'm just kind of curious, where's this going with Kanan and these Loth Wolves and all this? And what the fuck was that place they walked through?
Yeah.
You know, like, is this just some, you know, is this just some hole or something that they fell to the other side? I don't know what the fuck's going on here. So, but I found it all very interesting. So I'm going to go an 8.75.
I went 8.5 for same reasons. I love how it's building out the lore, and it's incorporating lore from expanded universe stuff with Rook.
Yeah.
That's just very cool. It's cool that they're bringing that character in and, like, canonizing him.
Oh, yeah.
And we're starting to get into the mysticism type stuff, which is always very cool.
Yeah, and I've heard this kind of stuff referenced about Rebels before, and we've been heavy on it, but we're about to get it. Now, do we know if Kanan saw those paintings?
I don't know.
He seemed to be, like, questioning him as a student, like, I've looked at these. Tell me what you think. You know, like, felt very professor-like, but who knows? Okay, so a 8.75 and an 8.5.
Always look on the light side of life.
Ya-da-da-da-da-da. Okay, light side moment of the episode. For me, it's when Ezra pulls out the binoculars and you just see fucking Rook. Or was it Jai that pulled? I can't remember who pulled out the binoculars.
That is a great moment.
But they look and they just see this just ball of fury rapidly
their
approaching them.
Their reaction, too, is kind of like,
what the fuck is that? So, yeah, I don't know. I found it funny. You know, Rook's just having the time of his life, man. He's just, he's finally out of the cage and he's been... unleashed.
I'll have spent one day out there.
Oh,
that's Rook's theme song.
I'm blaring that
as soon as he hits that open field, man. Moving. It's like when you bring the dog to like an open field and it's like, yeah, just go, and they fly. What's yours?
Mine was when Governor Price got done talking about how effective she is as a leader, and then the camera panned just 50 feet over, and that's where everybody was.
Brilliant stuff.
Thought it was very funny.
You know what we haven't really talked about? Ahsoka's, like, here.
Next Wednesday!
Yeah.
Yeah!
So we're gonna have to talk about that.
Yeah.
We're obviously gonna have to discuss that on future pods. I mean, we haven't even really... I don't know, man, like... I know it's coming, but just being off Twitter kind of generally and just not on it much anymore, it just like it just kind of sneaks up
on
you.
It snuck up on me, too. Yeah.
It's excited. Okay. So those are your light side moments.
If you only knew the power of the dark side.
All right. Dark side moment of the episode. You know, honestly, like, there's not a lot of dark side stuff here.
There was a scout trooper that got smushed to death.
Oh, yeah. That's old hat.
Yeah, that is true.
We're so desensitized to that
at this point.
I'm just gonna go with the continue. I've probably used it before, but my default for when I don't really have one that stands out is just the continued idiocy of the Empire. Endless resources and endless amount of idiots who don't know what they're doing with endless resources. So that is mine. Just the fact that they allow just time and time again to get bested by this small band of rebels. So that's mine. What's yours?
Mine is just Kanan and Hera continuity confusion type stuff.
Yeah, I know that they're whatever, but I don't know to what level.
Like, I love the fact that they're putting so much focus on it, but I'm just confused as to, like, what yeah. we were supposed to be thinking this whole time.
Like, do they file taxes separately or right. jointly?
Yeah.
You know, like, what level are we at here?
Are they both on the lease for the yeah. ghost, or is it just one of them?
Yeah. So, I don't know. Yeah, it is interesting. Hopefully, I don't know, we'll get more clarification. I'm sure if any of the Clone Castanovas out there got a little insight into what's going on, you know, when the cameras are off,
we would welcome it.
We would welcome it. Clonecastpod@gmail.com. Okay, that's your dark side moments of the episode. Hey, Rex, did we see Rex briefly?
I don't know.
I saw the ghost. I have to go back and check. But you gotta go back. You gotta get it up. You gotta get it up. You gotta get it in. Mandate Dark Horse. Mandate. Ball Brian, Gina Grant, you're fired. Help me, Dennis Prager. I'm being canceled. Gina Carano, come on the podcast. Dennis Prager, help me. I'm being canceled. Give me some of your good Prager U videos.
Appleton is Wisconsin. Where should I eat? Help me, I'm being canceled.
You're going to Appleton, Wisconsin. Oh,
did you see that tweet I sent you?
No.
Somebody on Reddit posted, Corolla tweeted out, Appleton, Wisconsin, where should I eat this weekend? And somebody replied to it, was like, Jimmy Kimmel is hanging out on an island with Jennifer Aniston and Jason Bateman somewhere, and Adam Corolla is asking locals what to eat in Appleton.
Well, I can tell you what to eat in Appleton.
Yeah?
Okay, there's two choices. Brett Favre's Steakhouse or Applebee's. I think those are the two restaurants in the Green Bay metropolitan area.
Yeah.
You've been to Green Bay, right?
I have never been to Green Bay. Oh. I've been to Appleton.
That's just outside of Green Bay, right?
It's a little ways, I think.
Okay. You big Appleton guy? How
no.
was it?
I went there for work. I went and called on some guy from Mills Fleet Farm because it's headquartered there.
I hate Fleet Farm.
You can get a pair of snow tires, a Lego set, and a horse vaccine all in one place.
And a bag of cashews. I don't know. Fleet Farm was, I was always just not a big Fleet Farm kid. When we go to Fleet Farm, Fleet Farm and Menards, those were the two where I just struggled with.
Yeah.
But I've come to love Menards.
I love Menards.
Especially the one around here over in Golden Valley. I talked about it before. They got that self-playing piano.
They got the self-playing piano. Do they have the giant smooth escalator?
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
It's got the cool one in the middle where it brings your
cart.
Yep. Yeah, your cart up, the cart carrier, the cart conveyor. Oh, yeah, Dark Horse hero of the episode. I'm going to go with Rook. I'm going to go with Rook just for
he's very
tumbling,
effective as a
tumbling through the wheat, yeah. moving and shaking. Who's yours?
I went with Brave Sidekick Gray Lothwolves.
Brave Sidekick. So the lesser Loth.
Because you got your main big white one, and then
yeah, he's the one with the big brain.
This time he showed up with his henchmen. He's got two gray Loth wolves next to him.
Yeah, and they growl a little more than him.
Uh-huh.
They're kind of like, who are these guys? And he's like, don't worry, they're with me, just trust me.
Yeah.
I vibe
but they're
with
still hanging out. They're making sure everybody corrals and gets to the other side of the hemisphere all right.
They're having a great time. That's a good one. I like that. Okay, so those are your Dark Horse heroes of the episode.
The Clone Cast presents
Power Rankings. Talk to me.
Yeah! Okay, power rankings. So what we do here is we are ranking our three favorite characters, things, whatever that we saw in this episode. First place gets 3 points. Second place gets one or two. Third place gets one. And then we just kind of add them all up and we got a big running list here. And then when Rebels is all said and done, we're going to go back and we're going to go review this list one by one. So Hera is currently in first with 89, Ezra in second with 71, Sabine with 57 is in third, Conch Gal and Aqualush Bull, the Lothal legends themselves at 55 are in fourth, Chopper in fifth at 50, and then we got Kanan at 41. We got five for Caleb Doom. I don't know when he, but I have that in parentheses. And then just a couple of other ones, not to be confused with Ezra in second place, but we have Brave Ezra Bridger with 1 point. Weighted Blanket Lothcat, a good one. And who can forget Zeb's Devil Sticks with 1 point. We'll go through them all at a later date. There's too many to possibly do it every episode. But let's talk about this episode. Let's talk about Kindred. You got your number one. Who do you got?
I went with Rook.
Rook.
Very effective. New character coming in thanks to Timothy Zahn.
He's a bloodhound. I am going with Brave Alarm Alarm Clock Loft Cat. Brave Alarm Clock Loft Cat. Because they're all asleep in the wheat after their weird kind of their interplanetary travel where they went through the weird tube or whatever. I don't know what it was. But Brave Alarm Cat Loft Cat. Now, I think this Loft Cat already probably has points because it's that white Loft Cat. But I'm giving separate points, and I'm calling him the Brave Alarm Clock Loft Cat, getting 3 points for waking everybody up and getting him on the move. Who's your number two?
Number two, I went with Hera. Some fancy flying she did there when she bolted through that hangar bay. That was very, very cool.
I'm going to second that. I thought this was a great Hera episode. Really showing off the flying skills.
And
showing
saying,
off
may
the
force be with you.
Yep.
That's good stuff.
And smooching that fucking guy. Just do it already, Kanan. Come on. I think she's just waiting for him to make the move.
Uh-huh.
Make the move, baby. All right. Maybe now that the Doom is out, he's got his groove back. How Doom got his groove back. He's going to become a real lady killer now.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Okay. So we both got Hera number two. Adam, who's your number three?
Number three, I went with LS21.
Okay.
Bomber LS21.
Is that the lazy person that was like, I'm here to bomb? Now, I had turned off the recording at that point because we took a break there. But, yeah, we didn't mention it, but this TIE bomber pilot is the laziest voice actor of all time. I like that. I didn't know that we had a designation on that, and I'm going to give LS21 2.2. I'm throwing whatever the hell I had out.
Well, you know who the voice actor is.
Oh, do I?
Yeah, and okay. I believe you're a fan.
Ooh.
A little lady by the name of Vanessa Marshall.
Oh, let me hit it. Hold on. Why aren't you playing?
Skyrockets in flight. Afternoon delight.
Okay. All right, so LS21, I like that.
It's voiced by Hera.
All right.
Like, also, you know who voiced...
I think they have Vanessa Marshall, and they're like, you can't sound like Hera, so just...
Yeah, I'm here to bomb the stuff.
It's the most, like, I don't know. It just, yeah.
Do you know who voices Rook?
That has got to be famed voice actor Dan Castellaneta.
No.
Okay.
You do know this person from Star Wars.
Okay.
I think they've did something to his voice, like they used a sound modulator or something, so he doesn't sound like himself. But he's been in a lot of Star Wars stuff. He's been in...
Steven Stanton.
Harry Potter stuff. He's been in Lord of the Rings stuff, maybe?
Really? Hold on, I'm going to see if this voice actor's name. Is it Corey Burton?
No.
Okay, never mind. That's Cad Bane's voice guy. Ah. He does have a Cad Bane-ish voice. I don't know, who is it?
He's closer to Rook in size than anything else.
Wallace Shaw.
Nope.
Peter Dinklage.
No, he has been in Star Wars before, though.
I don't know who.
Warwick Davis.
Oh, old WD, the leprechaun. That thing scared me more than anything.
Wicked himself.
Yep. All right. Love it. Willow as well.
Yeah.
That would have given Davis. It away. Yeah, he's had a great career.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. So that is in a little impromptu, who are you? What else do we got here? Oh, yeah. Everybody's favorite.
I beg your pardon, but what do you mean, naked? My parts are showing. My goodness.
Only on Lethal. I guess we were on Yavin 4 for a minute, but who was the fashion icon? Who was looking hot? Okay, a good hood, our fashion icon of the episode. Adam, who do you got?
I mean, can there be anyone else?
Are we both going with Arinda Price hood?
I think so. I mean, look at her.
Hooded Arinda Price, and she's got the little sign, the little bobbies coming down there, hanging out of the hood. She looks great. She's wearing
the hell out of that uniform.
She just got some pretty eyes on her, you know? She's mesmerizing.
The contrast between the eyes and the gray of the uniform.
Oh, it stands out.
Making them pop.
Yeah. It's too bad she's a fascist. I don't know.
I know.
Hey, Conch Gal came around in the end.
Yeah, that's true.
But I don't know. I think there's different levels of it here. So, I think Arinda Price with the hood, the Veers hood, that's really the only option in this episode. I mean, I guess you could give it to
Rook
for being unique looking, but... I think that's the good call. Very simple good hood this time. I don't know. I always want to find a real standout, but it was just, you know, I want somebody in the background that looks
bare
like
bones
they got,
this episode.
Yeah. Bare bones. Okay. Thank you, Yoda. Thank you, Chewbacca. So, back in the old Clone Wars days, I would predict the next episode based off of the episode tagline. We don't have that luxury anymore, so I just predict the next episode based off of the episode title. So, Adam, what do we got for next week?
Next episode is entitled Crawler Commanders.
Crawler Commanders. Ooh. Crawler Commanders. Crawler Commanders. Like a sand crawler? Maybe we get a sand crawler. A wheat crawler.
That'd be fun.
I would love a wheat crawler. That would require a UCS. What do you think the difference between a sand crawler and a wheat crawler would be?
It is like thresher wheels.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And then it takes the wheat and it throws it in like a little thing. And they stack it up. So while they're traversing, they're collecting the wheat.
Uh-huh.
Ah, two birds with one stone.
Aqualush bull skeleton gets caught up in the thresher.
No. They hit that and it just fucking tips the fucking sand crawler over. He can't be touched. He's got a force bubble around him of pure energy and light and cum and brains. Okay. All right. So that commander, creepy commander crawler.
Crawler Commander.
Crawler Commander season 4, episode 8 will be next week. All right. Adam, where can the listeners reach us?
Send us an email. We are clonecastpod@gmail.com. You can reach out on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, @clonecastpod. Reach out if you want the link to join the Discord. A lot of good talk going on in there. Thank you for all the support. Thank you for listening. We have 8 episodes left before our hiatus, before Resistance. So thank you all for the support. We love all of our Clonecast Novas. We'll see you next time for Crawler Commanders. Until then, I don't know. May the Jedi be with you.